What he can eat one day makes him sick the next. The nausea is real. I mean, just the smell of some foods made Jose sick. Without a doubt, food is one of our biggest, if not the biggest, struggle that we've had in cancer. Food is the main source of energy, right? So your body needs this energy. The thing about eating during chemo is that you have to eat even when you don't want to, even when you don't feel like it, even when you're not hungry, even when you have that nausea. You have to eat. The alternative is that your body is too weak to fight the good fight, and that is not an option. Welcome to the Caregiver's Guide to Cancer podcast. This podcast is hosted by Amy Dover and Jose Rosa. I, Amy, am or was Jose's caregiver, depending upon what episode you're listening to. You see, the thing that frustrated us most about our new journey was the fact that there really wasn't a guidebook to tell us how to get through it. While this podcast won't be a complete guidebook, given that everyone's diagnosis, treatment, care plans, responses, etc., are all very different, it is, however, our sincere hope that you find nuggets in the stories told that will help you to navigate your journey as a caregiver. Now, here's our disclaimer. The content that you will hear in this podcast are stories of how others have navigated cancer and caregiving. It should not be taken as medical advice. We would be more than thrilled if you found a nugget that you believe would help you, but please first discuss it with your medical care provider before implementing it. I mentioned previously that with the donations from friends and family, we hired a house helper. I had the idea that I would have her cook some dinners in bulk and freeze them. In theory, y'all, this was smart. It is smart. If your patient isn't also struggling with finding foods that they can eat. My patient was struggling with finding foods that didn't make him sick. The first time Krista made food, she made 3 huge casseroles. Jose ate 1 plate of each of them, and I ate those 3 casseroles, alternating between them for lunch and dinner for weeks. Lesson learned, no more casseroles. Jose had the idea to have her prep protein, and then we could do the side dishes on our own. And that actually worked out really well. The problem with having a fluctuating appetite is that the caregiver becomes a short order cook. I didn't cook dinner every night pre-cancer, and I certainly didn't have the time to do it with cancer. By having protein prepped, I could thaw that part of dinner that took the longest amount of time to make, and it truly was a lifesaver. Here's another big tip. Have 2 different types of protein thawed and ready to eat at all times. This gave Jose options that he could decide which he and his stomach could handle. When I tell you that the nausea is real, it is so real that it changes by the minute. One day, bless his heart, he made a jelly sandwich. I personally think the jelly sandwiches are quite disgusting, but that man loves a grape jelly sandwich. Well, this day, he made it and lifted it to take a bite, and the smell of it made him start gagging. If you're a caregiver and you're starting to feel like a short order cook, know that they can't help it. The nausea is uncontrollable and it changes multiple times throughout the day. Today I'm sharing with you top 3 things that worked for Jose and I. They may or may not work for you, but hopefully they'll serve as a little bit of food for thought, pun intended. My best tips are this. Number 1, prep the protein and always have 2 options available, as I mentioned. Number 2, keep pre-made protein shakes in the fridge at all times. There will be times when food really is not an option, but not getting the nutrients needed is also not an option. So pre-made protein shakes ensure that they get the nutrients that they need and they are great meal substitutes. Number 3, encourage your patient to eat 4 to 5 small meals throughout the day. Eating big meals and having lots of heavy food on your stomach can actually do more harm than good. For Jose, it actually helped to keep the nausea at bay to have smaller meals. He got more nauseous the more hungry he got. That made it harder to eat. He found that if he never really let his body get hungry, then he could limit the nausea. Trust me, nothing is a 100% solution. It's persistent and it's ever evolving. However, this worked well for him. It may be worth a try to monitor the amount of nausea based on the amount of hours in between your loved one's meals. If you see that there's a correlation, then you know how to adjust accordingly. Having said that, it may be a good idea to keep a food journal. Keep track of it all. Don't overanalyze it. I don't think that you need another thing on your to-do list. Simply just keep an eye on it, track it a little bit, and review it after a few days and see if there's any correlation. If not, it's not working. Don't stress it. Move on to the next potential solution. These are a few tips from our journey. We'll be interviewing other patients and caregivers, and they'll be sharing their tips for what worked for them. As always, please speak to your doctor or dietitian before making any changes to your diet. That's just a good idea in general, whether you have cancer or diabetes, or you're really looking to make some health changes. If you have something that's working in your household, share it. Other patients need to hear it. Other caregivers need to hear it. Leave a comment wherever you're listening. Our email address is in the description of the episodes, and feel free to email me. I'd love to compile a list of tips from our listeners and share them with other patients and caregivers in future episodes or on our website. Who knows? You may hear your story on the next episode of The Caregiver's Guide to Cancer. The content in this podcast consists of stories of how we and others have navigated cancer and caregiving. It should not be taken as medical advice. If you found a nugget that you believe will help you and your loved one in your cancer journey, we are thrilled, but please first discuss it with your medical care provider before implementing it. This podcast is brought to you by Larrick Point Consulting. Larrick Point guides business owners in developing streamlined operating procedures. For help developing new workflows and even outsourcing operational activities, visit them at larrickpointconsulting.com. If you like what you've heard today and want more, be sure and subscribe so that you get alerts for new episodes. Until next time, Jose and I are sending you much love and prayers for healing.